Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, so AOC, Congresswoman AOC and Cori Bush, they've won. They mission accomplished. After a lot of theater and emotional manipulation and stomping their feet, Joe Biden has caved. And he's decided that even though he knows that constitutional scholars say that this won't pass constitutional muster, he's still going to try to expand this eviction moratorium. Let's actually play a little bit of Joe Biden here. This is cut 28.
But there are several key scholars who think that it may, and it's worth the effort. But the present, you could not, the court's already ruled on the present eviction moratorium. So I think what you're going to see, and I want to make it clear.
Of course you do.
I told you I would not tell the Justice Department or the medical experts or scientists what they should say or do. So I don't want to get ahead. The CDC has to make this. I asked the CDC to go back and consider other options that may be available to them.
Because the CDC is running the country now, in case you have been taking a year and a half long nap. The CDC, Dr. Impending Doom and Dr. Anthony Fauci, they are our commanders in chiefs. And
Rochelle, Rochelle!
What could possibly go wrong? I mean, they've been right about so many things in the past. But Stephen Miller was really fired up about this, and Biden pretty much announcing that despite the fact that he knows it's not legal, he's going to try anyway. He said Biden's CDC is threatening private property owners with prison. It's off the wall insane. It will get struck down, but it's entirely beside the point. The point is they tested and tried it. Journalists told him to do it. His administration followed them, ignoring a SCOTUS ruling. His party that controls Congress deferred to it. Are media telling Democrats and a Democrat president to simply ignore SCOTUS rulings? It happens just like this, not with a bent, but with a confused old man in Werther's. If journalists, and then he calls out Yamiche Alcindor, are out telling the president to just ignore the Supreme Court, where do you think that leads? And then lastly, he wrote, Biden said he didn't have the authority to do what he did today. Then journalists chastised him on Twitter. So his administration reversed and did it anyway, never mind the law. This administration exists to serve journalists on Twitter and not much more. That's it. And a lot of people said this from the beginning, that, you know, Biden was running as this moderate, but he's not. He's a Trojan horse for the left. And he's going to give them everything they want. He'll cave on everything. You know, he talks tough about student loan debt. He'll cave on that if given the opportunity. He'll cave on packing the Supreme Court. Really, our fate rests with like Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, because this president doesn't have any sort of backbone. He is at the mercy of AOC's followers on Twitter and Instagram. That is who he is serving. It's not the American people. You know, it's not. And I just want to say that for all the anti-Trump rhinos out there, you know, who just wanted things to go back to normal. Restore the norms. Restore the soul of America. Well, you don't have any more mean tweets, but the country's going to hell in a handbasket. So I hope it was worth it. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hi. I'm starting to think the banks are behind this moratorium. They want to foreclose because then they can sell to companies like BlackRock for 10% over asking, sight unseen.
Yeah, and then nobody, and then
power play.
Yeah, and then there's no landlords. There's no small landlords. That's what the government calls, you know, anything that's not big corporations renting out property. I could see that, John. I understand why people have that theory, and I've seen it floated around. Actually, my producer just came in a few minutes ago and said the same thing. So I think that's a great point. And I think this idea that the landlords are the ones who should be tossed aside, like we shouldn't have any sympathy for them because, oh, they're all rich, they don't need my money. You know, who cares if they lose a couple $1,000s? They don't even need it. That is so bogus. And I'm going to read now a piece from the Washington Post. It's actually from May, and it's heartbreaking. It's called The Battle for 1042 Cutler Street. Now, this is a long piece. I'm going to read most of it, though, because I really enjoyed this today. I know, shocking. Washington Post, Grace Curley. But hey, stranger things have happened. Schenectady, New York. The landlord had highlighted the first of the month on his office calendar and marked it as payday. But now the first had come and gone. The one-week grace period was ending, and for the 13th consecutive month, Romeo Budu had collected less than half of his total rent. Time to try begging for it, he said, and grabbed his booklet of receipts and walked out to his car. He drove through the low-income neighborhoods of Schenectady. He cajoled $75 in cash from a laid-off hairdresser who owed him more than $7,000. Thanks for at least trying to work with me, he wrote on the rental receipt. He collected $200 from a renter who was $1,600 behind. I'll come back tomorrow, he said, and then he continued up the street to his oldest property, a three-story home that had helped lift him into the middle class and was now sending him closer to bankruptcy. Badu parked in front and flipped through his receipts. The tenant owed more than $12,000. And on the porch, Badu saw a pile of warnings and eviction notices dating back almost a year. No more grace periods, read one from last fall. Pay now or leave. In the COVID economy of 2021, the federal government had created an ongoing grace period for renters until at least July, banning all evictions in an effort to hold back a historic housing crisis that is already underway. More than 8 million rental properties across the country are behind on payments by an average of $5,600. Nearly half of those rental properties, this is a really important part, nearly half of those rental properties are owned not by big banks or big corporations, but instead by what the government classifies as small landlords, people who manage their own rentals and depend on them for basic income, and who are now trapped between tenants who can't pay and their own mounting bills for insurance, mortgages, and property tax. According to government estimates, a third of small landlords are at risk of bankruptcy or foreclosure as the pandemic continues into its second year. For Badu, the essence of his problems came down to one house, 1042 Cutler Street, a three-story square box built in 1901, with faded green siding and fresh graffiti spray-painted on the windows. The house had been sold four times out of foreclosure, condemned by the city and scheduled for demolition when Badu first saw it after immigrating to New York in the early 2000s. He worked at a nearby pick-and-pack warehouse for $8 an hour and saved up a small down payment toward a $79,000 purchase price. He rewired the electricity, gutted the plumbing, installed granite countertops, and begun renting it out for up to $950 a month. Gradually, those profits had paid for more distressed property, for his daughter's college degree, and for a small home of his own, where her diploma now hung above the entryway. He'd spent two decades growing his business on the first of each month, until the pandemic hit upstate New York. Just a friendly reminder, he'd written to the tenant, after the first missed payment in April of 2020. Good morning. Are you able to pay rent? He'd written after the second month. Please, I'm willing to work with you, he wrote after the government announced its first national eviction moratorium in September. Really? You're still not going to pay anything? He wrote after he read about the billions of government dollars being spent in rental assistance for which his tenant never applied. Badu had maxed his credit cards, applied for a secondary loan on his 2015 Mercedes-Benz, defaulted on $13,000 in property taxes, and started taking medication for panic attacks and stomach ulcers. He'd begun mowing people's lawns and selling eggplants out of his garden to neighbors for a couple of dollars each. This is robbery, he'd written. What you're doing now is stealing from me. He got out of the car and walked around the outside of the house. He didn't dare knock because the tenant had accused him of harassment and police had warned him about tenants' rights in trespassing on his own property. Through the front window, he could see a big screen TV and two space heaters with wires running in every direction. The yard was littered with a few empty cigarette packs, wrappers, and beer cans. He suspected the tenant not only was living free, but was also damaging his home in the process. "So much disrespect," he said. He kicked a beer can across the yard, but then walked over to pick it up. Even if he no longer had control over his properties, he was still legally responsible for their upkeep, and he'd been fined 4 times for his tenant's trash violations. He took a trash bag out of his car and started cleaning up the yard. Alfonso Hill watched from inside the house, so this is the tenant, until the landlord walked back to his car. "Yeah, like you need the money," Hill said after he watched the landlord drive his Mercedes up the block. And then he came outside, lit a cigarette, and sat on the porch. He resented many things about life at 1042 Cutler. Now, this part of it, it explains how the tenant's not happy with the property that he's not paying for. "Look, I don't want to be living here either," Hill told Badu at one point, but he also believed the pandemic had given him no choice. I'm going to skip over this part. It talks about how he had different jobs, this tenant, and how because of the indoor dining rules, he got laid off or the restaurants closed down. Now he was 38, unemployed, broke, and living alone with his daughter and her two guinea pigs. She was attending sixth grade virtually in their living room, and this is what he told her about the situation with the landlord. "He's basically the exterminator and we're the rats. Do you understand that?" "Kind of," she said. "I guess so. What I'm saying is he wants to get rid of us. It doesn't matter what we're dealing with. We're not human to him. We're money. It's all a big game." So Hill had taught himself the rules, researching on the internet about tenants' rights, rent strikes in New York, and the eviction moratorium. He read that almost 1 million other renters in New York State were behind on payments, and that 80% of those renters had also reported having lost income during the pandemic. Hill watched online as Cuomo said, "The number one issue that people talk to me about probably is rent and fear about being able to pay their rent. And this just takes that issue off the table." He listened during the presidential campaign as Joe Biden said, "There should be rent forgiveness, not paid later, but forgiveness." And so when Hill finally received some small unemployment payments and a four-figure stimulus check from the government, he used that money to fix the engine in his broken-down minivan, buy a little extra food, purchase some basic furniture, pay down his credit card, and surprise his daughter with a decent laptop for her virtual classes. Because why would he spend what little money he had on rent that he didn't actually have to pay? The landlord had threatened to tow his car out of the driveway. He left flyers on the porch with information about homeless shelters. He'd stopped making even the most basic repairs, and now the furnace was broken in the house. It was so cold that the city had condemned it as unlivable, and yet they were still living there. "I need some air," he told his daughter, and he grabbed a beer and headed back outside. I'm going to finish this story because the next part of it is about the process that these landlords are going through to try to evict people. And it's really wild. Eden Pure has done it again. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack is back. One user writes, "I'm very surprised at how well the small unit works. I noticed a difference almost immediately." The difference, Jared, really takes place in minutes. It's a small unit, so you'd think it would need more time, but it works really fast. It's very powerful.
Yeah, you just plug it in, you turn the dial, and like you said, within minutes, you start smelling it because you stop smelling things. And there's an absence of smell that you get when the air around you starts to ionize, and it creates that super oxygen, which is why there is no smell. And, you know, I mean, even in a condemned house like 1042, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm would be fantastic.
Yeah, and now you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. Like Jared said, it really works, and it works in hours. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier is small and light, and the best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which saves you time and money. Some of these units can cost up to $600, but not the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPureDeals.com, click on my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name and use code word GRACE3. The 3-pack special ends this week. I'm going to finish this story on the other side, and we'll take your calls 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
All right, so back to this story. The landlord, Badu, he meets with this woman. Her name is Julie Horn, and he has her in his phone as Julie Eviction. She's known as the hit lady, and she serves people with eviction notices. The courts, but now Horn flipped through the folder for 1042 Cutler and pulled out paperwork dating to July. The courts were still technically hearing eviction cases, even with the moratorium in place. But each time Horn went to court, the law required something new, a longer grace period for tenants, notarized hardship forms, proof that the tenant wasn't a veteran. Even if a judge eventually decided to grant an eviction order, the sheriff's office couldn't carry it out until the federal moratorium was lifted. And already the sheriff had warned about a backlog of up to 3,000 eviction cases that could take months to process. The word is out, she said. Now, this woman talks about how sometimes when she would deliver the court documents, the tenants would cry or yell or threaten her. And now she says she's begun to encounter indifference. The word is out, she said. I'm a shark with no teeth. So that's it, Badu said. We're powerless. That's not how the city sees it, she said. You're the landlord, remember? You're the villain. You're greedy. You're trying to put a helpless family out in the streets. This house is slowly killing me, he said. Have you thought about trading cash for keys? Listen to how wild this is. What, he asked. And Horn explained a strategy that was becoming popular among landlords. They offered to pay delinquent tenants more than $500 in cash and forgive all overdue rent if the tenant agreed to move out. That's crazy, Badu said. I don't have any more money to waste. I'd rather walk off a bridge. I'm serious. I'd just as soon commit suicide. She then asked him if he could sell the property. I've thought about it, he said, but he'd also thought about how much he might get in return for a 120-year-old house in unknown condition with a tenant who refused to allow potential buyers inside. Even if he could convince someone to purchase it blind, the new owner also would have to agree to inherit a tenant who didn't pay and had a legal right to stay in the home until the eviction moratorium ended, which, by the looks of it, they have no plan on ending this ever. Maybe if I'm lucky, I'd break even and get back to zero, Badu said. And then what? I put my whole life into this business. It's all I have. I'd be erasing 20 years. A few days later, he got an invitation from another small landlord. So he meets up with all these landlords and they talk about how they're going broke and how one of them says, where does it stop? I've heard people say housing is a basic right. Cancel rent forever. Why don't the grocery stores just start giving away food? Another landlord said. And they talk about how it's a complete disaster. And so now back to this 1042 Cutler Street. Badu watched as a shadow moved across the curtains in the living room. He's back there looking for rent. He couldn't go inside. He couldn't demand rent. He couldn't kick the tenant out. He couldn't do much of anything but sit and wait and hope until eventually out the windshield, he noticed something happening a few blocks down. He sees a woman throwing clothes out of a house and onto the lawn. She carried a chair down the front stairs and put it on the sidewalk. It looked to Badu like an eviction, so he drove closer, parked, and walked up to the house. Are you the landlord? He asked the woman, and she nodded. Wow, congratulations, he said, gesturing at the trash piled up on the sidewalk. I've been trying to get one of my houses back for more than a year. How'd you do it? It's not what you think, she said. I didn't evict, they just left. Yeah, come on, Badu replied. She laughed and then began to tell him about the way she dealt with derelict tenants during the past year. How she applied pressure through eviction paperwork, stopped making repairs, filed suit in small claims court, and threatened to garnish wages until eventually a few tenants chose to vacate on their own. I like to be reasonable, but eventually it's either my house or theirs, she said. And this is what victory looked like in the pandemic economy of 2021. An empty house, a family that had disappeared overnight, 28 garbage bags piled high on the sidewalk, an overturned dresser with initials carved into its side, a child's mattress soaked through by rain, and thousands of grains of rice scattered across the street. I've been lucky, she said. I only rent to good people and most have paid. It seems like every other landlord is going under, but I'm actually trying to invest. I'm looking to buy. Badu helped her pick up trash bags and then toss them into the dumpster. I might have an opportunity for you, he said, already feeling defeated by what he was about to suggest. Do you know 1042 Cutler? It's a good house. I can give you a good price. Sarah Gonzalez from Blaze TV is up next. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. We're having just a jam-packed show full of awesome guests, and we're about to continue our streak. Sarah Gonzalez is the host of The News in Why It Matters on Blaze TV. She's also an awesome tweeter at Sarah Gonzalez TX. And I suggest everyone follow her. She hits everything on her Twitter, and she talks about anything that's newsworthy, any progressive liberal nuttiness, and she's joining us now. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on The Grace Curley Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Sarah, the first thing I want to ask you about is Andrew Cuomo. There's a lot of talk about whether or not he should resign. Most Democrats are saying yes, but then they shy away from whether or not he should be impeached. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that what we're seeing with Andrew Cuomo is a case of Andrew Cuomo being the sacrificial lamb. I think that it's very telling that when you look at the Democrats and you see that we saw all of this come out throughout the last year, that Andrew Cuomo not only signed an executive order that sent many elderly people to their deaths in nursing homes, but his office, like, they covered it up on top of that. So we saw all of that, and all of that was totally kosher for the Democrats. But once he became too much of a liability, these are things with women that were going on for a very long time that many of the Democrats knew about. I mean, I've never met the guy, and I could almost pinpoint that he was that kind of guy. And yet you had them completely fine with it until he became too much of a liability. Now that he's a liability, they need him gone. And that is why you're seeing all of these lawmakers, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, calling on him to resign. Now, do they mean it? I don't think they do, but I think that there's enough pressure there, especially with the talk of the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, who is the one who headed up this investigation. You know, she has aspirations of becoming governor.
Right.
So I think that now that you have her in charge of all of this, she's not going to let it go because she has aspirations. You have the Democrats who have to answer for him. I think that that Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi will shy away from calling for impeachment, but will it happen? I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty heartened by the Democrat response so far. Again, I don't think it's because they have morals. I just think they believe they don't have another choice.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought this up because nothing really stops the Democrats, even when they're in situations like this, from, you know, they never take a step back. They never have any self-awareness and maybe say, maybe we stop morally lecturing people on what they should and should not do. We saw that last night with Chris Cuomo. He immediately goes into a rant about Governor Ron DeSantis without acknowledging the fact that his brother, Andrew Cuomo, is a massive creep and is probably going to be impeached. Now, Sarah, on that same note, I'm sure you saw this yesterday, and I'd love to get your take. Joe Biden had some choice words for governors who he thinks are in the way. I want to play this and get your reaction. Cut 11.
Just two states, Florida and Texas, account for one-third of all new COVID-19 cases in the entire country. Just two states. Look, we need leadership from everyone. If some governors aren't willing to do the right thing to beat this pandemic, then they should allow businesses and universities who want to do the right thing to be able to do it. I say to these governors, please help. But if you aren't going to help, at least get out of the way.
It's incredible that he is politicizing this to this degree, especially when you consider what's happening in Texas, Sarah. I mean, people must be losing their minds. He's telling Abbott to get out of the way if he's not going to help. And meanwhile, his administration is doing nothing to help with the thousands of people crossing the border with COVID.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's hilarious to me. My friend Chad Prather, who is a host over at Blaze TV as well, you know, we were talking about he was just in Mexico and he had to, as an American citizen, had to present a negative COVID test in order to come back. And if you did not provide a negative COVID test, if you in fact tested positive, you would have to stay behind in Mexico under armed guard. Yet they are totally fine with all of these illegal immigrants bringing COVID across the border. They are testing COVID positive and still being released. And I think that that tells you all you need to know about how serious Joe Biden takes this. They're calling it a pandemic. They're calling for the erasure of a pandemic on purpose, purposefully, because they know that this virus is something that we are going to live with forever. But as long as they trick the American population into thinking that this is somehow going to go away if we just relinquish our control over to the government enough, they can continue seizing power. And that's where you're seeing with Joe Biden. He's scared of these red states like Florida and Texas, because the longer that Florida and Texas hold out and everyone sees that we are doing just fine down here, the worse it gets for the Democrats, because even in the blue states, people will look and say, well, hold on. Florida's rolling cases per 100,000 people, according to the health department, the number of deaths is zero. Why are we locking down? Why are you not allowing us to feed our families? And so that's why you see Joe Biden wanting our states to get in line, because we are the control group. We are the group that shows the rest of America that they've been fooled.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. I think it really frustrates Democrats that because of the federalist way our country is built, that there's always this foil to their plans. I mean, there's always, you can look to Florida, you can look to Texas and go, all right, well, you know, this is what happens if you remove the mask mandate, or this is what happens if you let people decide on their own, or let kids still be kids and play sports. And if it weren't for the Republican governors in those states, then Democrats could say, well, we had to do all this stuff, because if we hadn't done it, it would have been a disaster. But what those states prove, Sarah, to your point, is that no, it wouldn't have been. It's just a different, more free way to handle an emergency.
Yes, 100%. The Democrats, I mean, it is obvious that this was all optics to instill fear in the American population. And if you have all of these red states who are doing these things, they cannot continue to instill the fear in the people. Case in point, they're now talking about a Lambda variant. I mean, it's never ending with them. It's not just the virus. It's not just the Delta variant. It's not just the Lambda variant. And notice when Joe Biden comes out and talks about this, as with many of the lawmakers, he's talking about cases. All they can talk about is cases, because when you actually look at the data, you look at the hospitalizations, you look at the deaths, the data is not there to suggest that they still should be seizing this power. And that's why you hear them. It's all optics. It's all an illusion. And, you know, you would think that Joe Biden would have learned his lesson the first time he called Texans Neanderthals. But I guess we're just going to have to show him one more time.
I would much rather follow the guidance of the Neanderthals in this case. Sarah Gonzalez is the host of The News and Why It Matters on Blaze TV. Sarah, in your Twitter bio, you describe yourself as a freedom fighter. I have to ask, what do you think of people like Mayor Bill de Blasio from New York City and others talking about these vaccine passports, or the key to New York City? And if you don't have one of these, you can't enjoy the experience of a city. You will be ostracized from polite society. What's your take on that?
Yeah, Grace, this is the civil rights movement of our time right now. This is the new civil rights movement. You cannot tell people that they have to put an injection into their body in order to enjoy the freedoms that they, in fact, already are supposed to receive because they are Americans. I don't have to prove vaccination status. I was born here. I am an American citizen. I have a God-given right to freedom and certainly bodily autonomy at the very least. And I find it, I would just like to say, very hilarious that the same people who want to say my body, my choice when it comes to an actual other human being now doesn't understand the mantra, my body, my choice, when it actually comes to someone else's body and someone else's choice. I think it's a disgrace. I think it's disgusting. And I do think that there are enough people, even vaccinated people, who will rise up and say, you cannot discriminate against people this way. And I don't think it's going to stand.
And Sarah, this is something I'm sure you've noticed, that whenever a Republican or even a Libertarian, anyone who goes against the liberal narrative, whenever they speak up and make these rational arguments or point out hypocrisy, there's this new trend of accusing us of being, you pointed out Neanderthals, but there's also, you know, QAnon supporters, right-wing nuts. And a very interesting situation happened in D.C. where the mayor, Muriel Bowser, officiated a wedding that she was seen without a mask on indoors, and she was called out for being a massive hypocrite. And listen to what she said about this. Now, the reporter who broke this story from the Washington Examiner is very pro-vaccine vaccine. She's not a right-wing nut by any means, but that didn't stop Muriel Bowser from slandering this woman for calling out her hypocrisy. Cut 24.
We've been reporting on the Examiner video that shows you inside a wedding without a mask, not actively eating or drinking. We see you in front of a microphone with a mask on now, which you don't have to do. But my question
to you listen,
first,
I'll take my mask off. Let me clear something up. Because if you want to report on the right wing wing nuts, have at it. But I'm not going to give it a lot of energy. We all know what the rule says about sitting at a dining table and dining. Don't be ridiculous. What's the next question?
Sarah, it's not just the smugness of breaking your own rules, but it's the anger and dismissiveness towards journalists who have the audacity to ask legitimate questions that kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I think that it just comes from a place of arrogance of having the mainstream media in your back pocket for so long. You see it not only from the D.C. mayor, but you also see it from people like Joe Biden, people like Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, did we lose Sarah? I think we lost Sarah. But you know what, Sarah? It was pretty much time to go anyway. Sarah Gonzalez from Blaze TV, thank you so much for being with us. Everyone should follow Sarah on Twitter and watch her programs. We hope to have her on again soon. When we get back, I'll take your calls on everything. Whether I know I see some people on the line want to discuss Cuomo. I am down to discuss that. And there's a new flavor of ice cream in town. And this one sounds almost as bad as Kraft mac and cheese ice cream. It's not as good as chocolate chip. I can tell you that right now.
Double dipped waffle cone with chocolate, vanilla chocolate chip.
And I do want to talk about this. Bill de Blasio saying, you know, the hilarious part is he's really doubled down because Carol Markowitz had this piece in the New York Post about how all these rules and all these ideas in New York City, they completely leave out children. And de Blasio is reassuring people that he hopes they won't have to separate families. You know, he's hopeful for that. Fingers crossed. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com, 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will landlords be allowed to try to collect rent by Thanksgiving?
No.
73% of the audience says no.
And Biden openly admits that he cannot revive this eviction moratorium legally, but that's not stopping him. And CNN covers it like this. President Biden shows he's ready to make drastic moves in the COVID-19 fight, even if he's not sure they're legal. Imagine if this were Trump. Donald Trump is a dictator. This is the last straw.
He did legal things they said were illegal.
I love how he says, even if he's not sure they're legal. No, he's sure that they're not legal. He's mentioned it several times to us. He knows. He absolutely knows. Charles Cook wrote, as Biden knows, because Gene Sperling confirmed he knows, he can't do this. He can't just reissue the old one. And there's not enough wiggle room in the statutory language to make something new legal. Because it simply doesn't cover evictions. This is theater. But that's what Joe Biden is so good at. He's very good with theater. We're going to talk a little bit about New York now and these vaccine mandates and passports and keys to the city. But first, let's go to Tony. Tony, you've been waiting for a while. What's going on, Tony?
Hey there, Grace. Thanks for taking the call. Well, unbelievable turn of events, but are we really surprised? Okay, so another Democratic leader with a hunger for power, Cuomo, we find all this information. But you know what the sad thing is about it? Like, of course he's going to get away with it. Look at the history. I mean, I'm interested to hear Howie's take on it once he gets on there a little while. I'm sure he can weigh in as well as you. But if you take a look at the history, Grace, I mean, Let's look back at Clinton. I mean, you could go on and on and on. The corruption, things we don't even know about. Same with Cuomo, what we don't know about. Let's go back even further with Ted Kennedy. He gets voted in time after time after time as the senator. Everyone calls him the lion of the Senate. The man let a woman drown in a car. Okay, so you can go on and on and on, but all the Democrats do is get away with it, and they continue to gain power. And these Democrats, Grace, they stick together.
I know.
They stick
I know.
Together. You know, it's unbelievable.
I know.
And they keep getting in. And, you know, why don't we need to stick together now? The Republicans, the conservatives. We need a powerful party that sticks together and does the right thing for this country. And I want to watch this Democratic Party dissolve into nothing. Enough is enough. I mean, this is just, it's over and over and over again, Grace.
Well, Tony, I'm glad you brought up that exact point because I was talking with someone earlier and this person wasn't trying to put Trump and Cuomo in the same league or anything, but in a way, Trump was different than other Republicans because he didn't bow down. He didn't apologize. He made mistakes. He said bad things to Billy Bush, but he knew. He looked at these Democrats and he's like, the amount of bleep that you people get away with and you don't get any punishment. And now I'm supposed to, step down or not run for president because I said some crude language to Billy Bush a few years ago. Come on. Enough with the pearl clutching. And that's what the Republicans need to do, Tony. You're absolutely right. Because these Democrats, they're willing to sacrifice Cuomo now, as Sarah Gonzalez from Blaze TV pointed out. They're totally willing to do it now because it's politically convenient. But they would have no problem sticking by him if they had to. They would have no problem. They do not get nervous about being hypocrites. And that's what Trump changed as far as Republicans go. It's like, don't assume that the base is so fragile that they can't take a little bit of, crude language. Because the Democrat base, they have a lot worse. They have Bill Clinton, as you pointed out. They have Andrew Cuomo. And it takes a lot for them to turn on any of their Democrats. It's a great point. Now, I do want to play this before I go to break here because we have so much to get to. And I think I'm going to talk a little bit about illegal immigration in the 2 o'clock hour because the former ICE official, Thomas Feeney, he's really telling the truth on Tucker Carlson. And it's ironic that it comes on the same day that Biden says, you know, Abbott's got to step out of the way if he's not going to help, because Biden's been such a help with the problem in Texas. But I do want to play de Blasio talking about this vax situation, cut 13.
I think if you're doing the right thing by everyone else around you and getting vaccinated, then you should enjoy everything in life. But if you are not getting vaccinated, then you're not going to be able to do some of the things you love. And our young people in particular, I guarantee, as the father of two 20-somethings, young people don't want to be left out of restaurants, bars, concerts. This is the kind of thing that's going to inspire a lot of young people to just get out there and get vaccinated.
I find it amazing that he keeps touting all of these wonderful things happening in New York City. You know what's going to happen? People are going to leave. They already are leaving. But I hate to break this to de Blasio, but people getting shot in broad daylight in Times Square isn't the wonderful experience that you think it is. It's not that big of a draw for people to want to deal with this kind of authoritarian BS. We'll be back talking illegal immigration, Muriel Bowser, and so much more on the other side.